ahead.
I'd like to call the regular meeting of Council of October 12th to order at 7 p.m. Please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vicki, please call the roll.
Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
Councilman Christopher Hollum.
Present.
Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Pismo.
Present.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
Councilman Christopher L. Biro.
Here.
And President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present. The first order of business is correspondence. This evening I received Ordinance 2017-70 from the mayor unsigned. So I would entertain a motion to amend the agenda for consideration of overriding his veto.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilman Fiebig to amend the agenda to consider the overriding of the Ordinance 2017-70. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hollum.
No.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Biro.
No.
Fellows.
Yes. The motion to amend the agenda to consider the veto of Ordinance 2017-70 is passed.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to override the mayor's veto of Ordinance 2017-70.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilman Fiebig to override the veto of 2017-70. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President.
Councilman Hallam.
I think I've made myself very clear in a letter I sent to council last week. However, for the benefit of the citizens here tonight, I would just restate the fact that I believe that this particular ordinance and the proceedings of the executive session last meeting, were illegal, improper, and not in following with our charter. And therefore, I'm not in favor of overriding this ordinance.
Anyone else?
Madam President?
Vice President Pleshnik.
I would just like to direct the question to Councilman Hallam. Number one, what is your legal background, legal education? And number two, if you have none, who advised you that this was illegal? Thank you.
I can read, sir. Thank you.
Good for you.
Call the question.
Vicki.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hollum.
No.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Biro.
No.
Fellows.
Yes. Ordinance 2017-70, the veto has been overridden by council. I don't know why we're getting feedback tonight. At this point, I'll move to the mayor's report.
Thank you. The new channel for Time Warner in the government access channel, because they switched to Spectrum, is 1024. So if you're watching it on TV, it's 1024. It's not 12 anymore. So tell your friends and neighbors if they want to watch on Spectrum, it's 1024. We've had a lot of problems with Spectrum because they had to convert their cable boxes to digital, and some people just lost their signal. So if they did, they have to call Spectrum to get that redone for them. I appointed our city prosecutor, Michael Germano, as acting law director. He will be doing this for no additional pay. His responsibilities on a temporary basis until a permanent law director is named. I have vetoed Ordinance 2017-70, confirming Steve Byron of Walter Haberfield LLC as our acting law director, and have outlined my reasons to council and many other entities, as well as posting it on our city website. Because the shooting we had 2 weeks ago, we haven't charged the perpetrator with the act of violence yet. He's currently at Hillcrest Hospital, and he's under guard by the Hillcrest Police Department. As of, I believe, Monday, this coming Monday, we will have to take over that responsibility at a cost of $5,000 to $10,000 a week. So I just want to say that we may have some additional expenses to pay for that 24/7 security until we charge them with the actual crime. We don't want to charge them right away because then the medical bills are our responsibility. So I'll keep you updated, but this Monday, I believe the Cleveland Clinic Police will cease watching them, and we have to send somebody down to there. The two officers are still recovering. They got a long road ahead of them, but I'll keep you informed as I find out more. The legal case, the AFM, the union, the new union that wants to come to the city, we haven't been served with the papers from CERB for the unfair labor practice. As soon as they do, I will let you know. That's all I have, Mr. President.
Are there any questions for the mayor this evening?
Oh, I just wanted to say the upcoming events. This Saturday, the 14th, we have the Willoughby Hills Annual Craft Show. It's from 9 to 3 at the Community Center. And Tuesday, October 17th, the Willoughby Hills Senior Potluck featuring Meet the Candidates Forum. And that's beginning at noon, and all are welcome to that. And then Saturday, the 21st, from 9 to noon is our second shred day. Anybody can bring up their shredding from 9 to noon. That's all I have. Thank you,
Mr. Mayor. Any questions for the mayor this evening?
Madam President, no question, but just following along on city events, our VFW is having their annual clam bake also this Saturday, October 14th, from 1 to 3 p.m. You can buy tickets at the bar, which typically opens at 3 o'clock most weekdays. So please do support our local VFW.
Thank you. We move over to the finance director's report, Mr. Berkachek.
Nothing new to report other than to let you know that we're in a testing phase with the Ohio Open Checkbook process, and we'll probably have that live within a couple of weeks.
Thank you. Any questions for the finance director this evening?
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnick.
One quick question. Did we dispose of the journal earlier?
No, I have to do that yet.
Okay.
I'm a little discombobulated this evening. City Engineer's Report, Mr. DeFranco.
Thank you, Madam President. No report, but I'm open to questions.
Thank you. Any questions for the City Engineer this evening? Seeing none. And I'll pop back up to the disposition of the journal.
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnick.
I would move to adopt the minutes of the regular council meeting of September 14th, 2017.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plushnick and second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt the regular council meeting minutes of September 14th. Any questions on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hallam.
Abstain.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Biro.
Abstain.
Fellows.
Yes. The regular council meeting minutes of September 14 have been adopted. We can move to committee reports. Councilman Barrow, do you have information you'd like
yes,
to
I
share?
Do. Thank you, Madam President. Service did meet on Monday at 6 o'clock. Committee members, myself and Ms. Micah, were present, as well as Mayor Bob Wager, Pete DeFranco, our city engineer, Tom Talcott, our acting fire chief, Mark Rubis, our service director, councilpersons Fiebig, Piesmont, and also Kevin Treppel and Brittany Jablonski. Jablowski, is that right?
Jablonski.
Jablonski, I spelled that wrong. Both assistants to the city engineer. We had a couple orders of business. One was roads. We talked with Mr. Grubis and DeFranco about roads that need to be replaced in the coming year. We worked off a priority list for road restoration. I was informed that we have 51 miles of road. We are responsible. And we're on a 20-year road replacement schedule. We need to replace at least 2 miles every year at roughly a cost of $1 million. So quite expensive. Planning starts now with identifying the roads to be replaced. We need to look at the budget for funding available and appropriations by end of the year, so bids can go out in late winter or early spring. Road work begins in the spring and projects finish by fall. We identified roads, Dodd Road, at a rough cost of $340,000, Keneally Road at $81,000, Red Fox Pass at $85,000, and Bates Road at $123,000, with a total of $629,000 on a wish list. If budget allows only $300,000, people only suggest Keneally, Red Fox, and Bates. But if the budget, if we have the monies, at least $600,000 would also add Dodd to the list. Road levy brings in about $427,000 a year, so it may be advantageous for us to roll over the current note of around $400,000 to borrow another million and, for a preferential rate of, I think it was 1.1 or 1.2%, something like that, and be able to finish some other road projects like the section of Rockefeller and White Roads. There's a possibility for issue 2 money, so that may change our planning in that. But the problem with the issue 2 money, it only applies for 2019, so we would, if we were to do Dodd Road we and include that in issue 2 money, we would stall that project and do the other 3 streets and apply for those monies for the next year. The next step is to look at budget and finances to see what roads are possible. Mr. Grubis did report that the new plow truck has been built and should be ready for delivery around January, early or late January. Also, Mr. Grubis informed us that leaf pickup has begun, and he estimates roughly that each house will get about 4 passes of the truck to to pick up the leaves and possibly more, depending on the season, if it rains or snows. Second order of business was fire department vehicles. Acting Chief Talcott presented a service committee with capital budget items document and other planning items. And the highest priority are the 3 vehicles that need to be replaced. The first one is engine 1213. It's a Stupin pumper truck, 1997. And the project includes design and specification of a triple combination fire engine that will support our daily firefighting and vehicle rescue operations, and the cost is about $625,000. The second vehicle is the re-chassis of an ambulance, number 1212. It's a 2006 Ford Lifeline. The ambulance module is in good shape, so we'll be able to refurbish that, renew it. We need a new E450 chassis. With the refurbishment of the module, would be coming about $125,000 to $140,000. And the third item is the replacement of the Chief's 2007 Durango, which has 57,000 miles. It's heavily rusted and operationally compromised. A new Ford Explorer would be just under $30,000, but would recommend a Tahoe or a Suburban, which can be set up as a command post vehicle. There were several other requests for fire station upgrades and repairs, but those are potentially part of future planning as funds become available. The consensus of the committee was to remand to finance and budget discussions. Linda Fulton and Cheryl Oda came forward with questions and comments in public portion, and the meeting adjourned at 7:02 p.m. That's my report, and open to questions.
Any questions for Councilman Biro?
Madam President, real quick, this is, as you said, the time of the year for leaf pickup, and I've started to get some questions from residents about it, as I do recurrently. And the primary question I tend to get is, what's the schedule? When can I expect my road to have leaf pickup? And in talking with our street superintendent, I'm aware that we don't currently have a schedule. He's proposed having one in the past, and I was just curious if there was any discussion about the possibility of trying to have some sort of schedule so that residents can have a sense of when they need their leaves by the side of the road.
He discussed that. There is a schedule of there's three individuals and two individuals. He discussed that in our meeting. I think it's part of a document that he submitted to, I don't remember, did he submit that document? Or,
yeah,
to City Hall, so we can put that out there. It can be interrupted by weather, so, you know, it just depends on what that holds for us. But also that they concentrate a little more on the west side because of the density of the housing and a lot of people on the east side just kind of blow it in the woods. So we do have a schedule somewhat, and like I said, he does anticipate at least four passes for every house in the city. So hopefully we can get that information out there, too, for a schedule.
If it would be possible to get it on the website, and maybe as things change, it could be updated so that people could have their best guesses when their street might be visited.
Right, and one of the other things he informed us was the equipment that we had issues last year seemed to be in good. They were rebuilt and in good working order. So hopefully, barring any mechanical issues, we should be pretty much kept up on schedule. So,
Madam Chair, was there any conversation? I think last year or maybe the year before we got two power lift gurneys and one. One ambulance, we also were able to get the actual kit that goes on inside the ambulance, but we actually have a second gurney that we don't have a power lift or that puts it into the ambulance. Is there any did they mention anything about whether there was a grant coming up for that?
No,
we might be able to utilize to
no
get the other?
No discussions on that. That may be discussions for safety.
Mayor, do you?
We already purchased it.
Oh.
And we're just waiting to install it.
Okay.
It came out like $20,000. A little less.
Okay. So then we'll be able to use the other.
We have the cots for both.
Right.
But the load
but
system.
Once that gets installed,
right.
We'll have use of both.
It's in the process of getting installed.
Terrific. Thank you.
Any other questions for Councilman Barro on service? Thank you, Chris. Vice President Fleshnick, did you want to report on the airport
Absolutely.
Meeting today?
The Cuyahoga County Airport Noise Abatement Council met today at the airport at 10 a.m. for its quarterly meeting to discuss third quarter noise complaints and other issues. There were 13 aircraft complaints for the third quarter of the year, eight of which were from Willoughby Hills, and all 13 of which, I might add, were during the voluntary noise abatement quiet hours from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. These arose from a total of 4,657 aircraft operations for the quarter, which was down slightly from last year. The update on the joint statement is the proposed amendment that was recommended by the Noise Abatement Council at the last meeting. Was forwarded to the Cuyahoga County Council, which is currently reviewing it, which would allow single-engine aircraft earlier turnout as required for safe operations. As I've explained in the past from taking the temperature of council and the mayor, I think we're in agreement that this is really surplusage because you can never require an aircraft to take an unsafe flight path. So I don't personally view this amendment as changing the substance of the agreement, which is why I voted abstain. I don't find it objectionable. I also don't find it necessary, but nonetheless, Cuyahoga Cuyahoga County Council is reviewing the agreement, and they could propose other changes to it that haven't been suggested, so I promise to update you on that. We had a productive conversation about the noise complaint process where we were updated on how noise complaints are taken in and dealt with by the administration at the airport. Whether you complain by email, phone, letter, or in person, your complaint is always supposed to be logged, and a letter should be sent typically by email to the resident as well as a copy to their city representative. Council President Kathy Murphy of Highland Heights and Mayor Dave Roach of Richmond Heights, who are the representatives of the other two cities, I represent Willoughby Hills, expressed concern that they were not receiving copies of the letters to their residents. To this date, I have been receiving the copies from you, but apparently there have been some technological issues in sending them to their respective cities. In terms of whether complaints are investigated, they only investigate aircraft complaints to see who the operator was and what happened if it's during the voluntary noise abatement quiet hours or if it's a run-up during the daytime. If it's a complaint as to a daytime flight, they will log the complaint, but they won't go into an investigation as to how it took place. My request, in response to what residents have asked for years, was that more detail be added to the official noise complaint log, specifically adding the name of the company that operates the jet or the engine plane that generated the complaint. There was some pushback from the operators who responded that sharing who was responsible for the noise complaint would put a target on the back of the responsible company, and I certainly agree that might result in some complaints being directed to the company, but I said given that we currently state in the noise log exactly who made the complaint with their address, it seems only fair to also show the operator's company, maybe not their name and their individual plane, but at least the company that's responsible so residents understand maybe this was a life flight from the Cleveland Clinic versus this was NextTent Aerospace sending a jet. We got a construction update on the airport. Phase 2 with the runway repavement is absolutely complete. Phases 3 and 4, which involve installing the soft concrete, also known as the EMAS or Engineered Material Arresting System, systems on either side of the runway are slated for next year. Should take about 2 to 3 months to complete with some off and on closures of the airport, but there are no firm start dates for that construction yet. On the Willoughby Hills side in particular, you might have noticed that some trees have been cut down at the Cuyahoga County Airport and the airport greens, the golf course area. That's part of the obstruction removal project, which started yesterday and will continue for a 21-day period. So if you see trees being taken down, that is the airport at this point. We got a brief update from Mayor Roach as to construction projects in Richmond Heights that affect both us and the airport. The Richmond Road Bridge has been reopened and is almost complete. You've probably also noted that the temporary light installed at the corner of Bishop and White Roads by ODOT is removed and the intersection is returned to being a four-way stop. That said, the construction in Richmond Heights continues. They were waiting to finish the bridge before they did a major project on Curtis Wright Parkway. So for those of you who cut through on that road, understand that there's going to be a partial repaving and repair, and parts of the road, maybe one lane might be closed on one day the other, but they're hoping there won't be a full closure of Curtis Wright Parkway over the next few weeks as they do it. I've had a couple residents express to me that they've heard a rather loud plane this past Friday, October 6th. It was something different from the norm. A Gulfstream 650 from NextTent Aerospace actually landed at the Cuyahoga County Airport. It's one of the biggest planes that has ever landed at the airport, and it actually would be overweight if it was fully fueled. The only way they could legally land was by having a somewhat empty tank. We were told by NextTent Aerospace that this was purely a celebration to christen the plane and that the fire departments from Richmond Heights as well as Euclid sent fire trucks to spray water hoses on the plane as a sort of christening ceremony. But it's something to watch for because when these planes aren't fully fueled, they can legally land at the airport. So if you heard or saw a really large jet, it was just about the biggest plane that ever landed at the airport, and it was this past Friday. As you know, the airport manager position has been vacant for some time. There was briefly an individual in that position, Monica Drake, who resigned shortly after taking the position, but we were assured by the Cuyahoga County Department of Public Works that Not only is the job posted, but airport manager interviews are underway, and in fact, there should be, and I quote, a slew of interviews over the next 2 weeks, so hopefully we'll see a new airport manager to work with our cities in the near future. The last I have is our next meeting will be January 11th, 10 a.m., also at the Cuyahoga County Airport, and as always, noise abatement council meetings are open to the public, and I stand open to questions. Thank you.
Any questions for Vice President Plushnick about the airport? Seeing none, at this time, I'd like to ask for a motion to amend the agenda so that Mr. Steve Byron can be sworn in by Commissioner Serino as the acting law director for the City of Willoughby Hills.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plushnick and a second from Councilman Fiebig. Any discussions on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hallam.
No.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnick.
Yes.
Biro.
No.
Fellows.
Yes. The agenda has been modified so that Commissioner Serino can swear in Mr. Steve Byron. By the mic.
This is unscripted. Unscripted. All right, Mr. Byron, please raise your right hand as you are.
Is it on, Jerry?
Is it on?
Okay.
Okay. Please repeat after me. I, Steve L. Byron.
I, Stephen L. Byron.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Ohio.
The Constitution of the State of Ohio.
The Charter and the laws and ordinances of the City of Willoughby Hills.
The Charter and the laws and ordinances of the City of Willoughby Hills.
And that I will faithfully.
And I will faithfully.
Honestly.
Honestly.
And impartially discharge the duties.
Impartially discharge the duties.
Of the acting law director of the City of Willoughby Hills.
Of the acting law director of the City of Willoughby Hills.
State of Ohio.
State of Ohio.
During my continuance in said position.
During my continuance in said position.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I want to thank Jerry for coming out here as a family man with nine kids and how many grandkids?
30.
Just 30. You're still working on it, aren't you? Okay, good, good. This is a homecoming for me, and my dad served here for many years from 1966 to 1989 when he retired, and I moved into the village in 1969, and I moved into the village in 1969. I actually interviewed Mayor Mel Schaefer in 1975 when I was in third grade in that office across the hall there. So this is very much a homecoming for me. I want to thank all of council for confirming my appointment, and I look forward to serving the City of Willoughby Hills again. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, moving on. The next order of business is public portion. This is an opportunity for individuals to come forth to share their thoughts and concerns, ask questions. Sometimes the council administration can answer the questions at the time, and sometimes they cannot, depending on if information needs to be researched. I ask that you keep your comments to about 3 minutes and be courteous when you come forward. So I will open public portion at 7:30. Mr. Grubas?
Mark Rubis, 2895 Cricket Lane. I'm also the road superintendent. The reason for me being here tonight is a picture that was received by council and the mayor of some false information that I did not do. And on September 27th, I was called by Willoughby Hills Police Department about a resident who lived at 36165 Chardon Road. The resident had a valid safety concern about some political signs that were obstructing their view when they pulled out on Chardon Road. I responded to the residents immediately. I talked to the homeowner. His name was Ivan Sosik, who was the next-door neighbor of the resident who filed the complaint. I instructed him to move the signs back past the right-of-way to eliminate the safety issue. Mr. Sosik told me that he thought there were no rules on these types of signs. I told him that was entirely not true. I told him that all signs should be behind the right-of-way. Mr. Sosik did not know where the right-of-way was, so I measured it for him, so he knew where the right-of-way was. While I was doing this, a contractor in a red van stopped by to ask me to perform a dye test that he recently installed a sewer on White Road, and the resident there would not pay him until this dye test was complete and I said that the sewer was properly installed. At this time, a passerby took a picture of my truck in the driveway, and they believed to be the candidate's husband's red van. This information was sent to council and the mayor anonymously. I indicated that I was using my city truck to help. They indicated I was using my city truck to help a candidate install signs. I want the public to know that this is false information about myself and the candidate. This candidate is not married to Dino from ADP Plumbing. It is not her husband's van, but the van belongs to Dino, who has confirmed this fact and is willing to vouch for me if need be. My truck was there for a complaint that I was handling. I used my city vehicle to handle city business. At no time did I move or touch the sign that belongs to the candidate.
Thank you.
I have a couple more. Can I just finish? Two more sentences. I believe this is defamation of character of myself and the candidate, and I would like this on the record. In the future, if any of you have any doubt or question regarding any accusations made towards me, please feel free to contact me or talk to me face to face. What really bothers me is that a resident told me that a candidate running for re-election for council told them that these pictures of me putting up the signs was city resources. This is not true and cannot be true. Once again, the information is false. I want to let the residents know that I am not this type of person. If you are listening, feel free to call me with any questions or anyone who has spread this information to you. My phone number is 440-343-2484. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Krupas. Yes. Please be sure to state your name and your address.
My name is John Susnick. I reside at 36165 Chardon Road. I'm the one that filed the complaint against Mr. Sosik for putting a sign up. I have photographs of Mr. Sosik placing the sign with his girlfriend, wife, whoever she is, on the front lawn as we drove by. I wanted to take pictures so we knew specifically where he was going to put the sign. As he put the sign up, he did a great job of putting the sign up high enough, but the problem is I drive a car and I drive a truck. Where the truck, when we drive out of our driveway with the truck, you cannot see. It's impeding your view. Hence why I contacted the city about removal of the sign or placing a sign further back. We had an issue before with the for sale sign impeding our view. We notified the police about that then. But Mark did nothing wrong. He did his job. He went to the site to look at it, measure how far it was from the road. That was it. Bottom line. End of story. Doesn't matter who's running for office. Doesn't matter who it is. I can care less who's running for office. Put a sign up all you want. It doesn't matter. The point is it was impeding our view from seeing my wife almost hit somebody on a bicycle when she pulled out with a truck.
Thank you.
That's it.
Yes. Please state your name and address.
My name is Joanne Majeski. I live at 14085 Sperry Road. That's in Newberry Township, Ohio, Geauga County. Dear Mayor Wager, Willoughby Hills City Council members, and residents of Willoughby Hills, as trustee of the Gulick Family Charitable Unit Remainder Unit Trust, I am pleased to inform you that two organizations in your city, Cornfest and Whisper, will receive a check tonight for $2,500 each. They are two of the three beneficiaries of the Gulick Family Charitable Remainder Unit Trust. The other beneficiary is Cleveland Institute of Music, who will receive a check for $5,000. Firstly, I want to thank you for the wonderful Cornfest concert and outing with the Joey Thompson Orchestra and Maple Heights Catering on August 9th of this year. Aunt Irene of Polish descent and Uncle Stan of Slovenian descent would have been so honored to know that this Cornfest concert was in their memory. They truly love Cornfest and especially volunteering for it back in 2011 and 2012. Secondly, Aunt Irene and Uncle Stan so admired the concept of the unique program of Whisper in your city, Willoughby Hills Isolated Senior Program for Everyday Relief, helping seniors relief. Helping senior citizens stay in their homes with volunteer assistance is awesome. All cities need to mirror this wonderful program and adopt it in their own cities. Many senior citizens want to maintain their independence and pride in their own homes with just a little bit of help, and help is what they get with the Whisper program. Lastly, I am so happy to let you know that the Willoughby Hills Cornfest and Whisper programs will continue to receive monies annually for the next 7 years until all the funds are depleted from the Gulick Family Charitable Remainder Unit Trust. The law firm of Ziegler Metzger, LLP, is representing me in my capacity as trustee and administrator of this trust. Thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anyone else for public portion this evening? Linda?
Linda Fulton, 2990 Markham Boulevard. First thing is the intersection at Bishop and White. I'm wondering, I did notice that traffic light was taken down. But today I almost got hit because people aren't aware, or they're not used to the light being there. And now, instead of stopping, they're going right through. So I was wondering if you can put a temporary sign up saying, you know, like they did before, new traffic traffic, whatever it said. So that's one thing. I'm a little confused. Do we have two interim law directors? I hope somebody can explain that. But if the mayor is appointing Mr. Germano, is that, I'm just wondering if that's a conflict, being that he is the prosecutor for Willoughby Hills. I don't know. Thank you, Frank, for getting back to me. And my question was answered by the woman that just came up. I was wondering if that $2,500 was a monthly or a yearly, but it sounds like it's yearly, right? Okay. And that's all.
Thanks, Linda. Anyone else for public portion this evening? Then I will close public portion at 7:41 p.m. We'll get back to you, Linda, with responses. We'll get back to you. Next order of business is unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business this evening?
Madam President.
Councilman Fieber.
I received a call from a couple that handles the Girl Scouts at the Grange for the past few years, and they wanted to have an update as to how we'll be handling the key and the situation there. Apparently, the heat is turned way down to like 50 degrees, and in the past they've gone there like 2 hours before to heat up the building, and we're talking about the dead of the winter, to heat up the building prior to a meeting. So they get in there, they turn it up, and then they leave, and then they come back for their meeting. So, and they also said kind of the same thing about air conditioning on the really, really hot days, that they might need to heat the building ahead of time. So I had hoped that we'd have a meeting scheduled as soon as possible so we can discuss the logistics and discuss with the mayor how you'd like to handle any logistics of how people that are using the building will be getting the Grange, and then discuss issues like insurance and things like that going forward. I mean, we put legislation in place that stopped the handing out of keys. By the way, I understood that the keys that were in dispatch didn't work, so you've probably corrected that already. Okay. I think, you know, years ago I did this in recreation where we set up all the community center, the ball fields and everything. We set rates for all those things, so that in my mind would be the appropriate committee. So if we would refer this issue to committee for discussion, if there's possible legislation or not, but we need to have a discussion as council as to how we're going to handle this going forward to make it easy for the people that are using it and to make sure that the right people are using it, so as to, you know, not have a problem or not inconvenience residents.
Madam President, I just got the insurance policies over the weekend for the Grange, that cover the Grange anyway, and so I would be able to call a rec committee meeting soon to talk about that before the next council meeting for sure.
Thank you. Any other unfinished business this evening? Seeing that, we move to legislation. The first one is ordinance number 20.
Madam President, excuse me one second. Can we maybe have a word from our interim law director regarding the question that was posed regarding the issue of who is the law director?
Sure.
Just to clear that up.
The charter is silent on when there's a vacancy.
Oh, very nice.
The charter is silent on if there's a vacancy that is not filled by the mayor with the confirmation of council for the law director. Under Article 1, Section 1.4, there's an order of operations provided by the Charter, which is that all such powers shall be exercised in the manner prescribed by the Charter, and, or if not prescribed herein, in such manner as shall be prescribed by ordinance of council. So you go to the Charter. If it's silent, council has the authority to act. And then the third step in the process is if there is no charter provision or ordinance, you look to the state code to see if the administration has authority under the Ohio Revised Code to take such action. Because council has taken an action by law, council has appointed the acting law director. Commissioner Serino has sworn me in, and I'm sitting here. So in my view, based upon what your charter provides, this action by council has been lawful.
Thank you, Madam President. Just a quick follow-up on that. Mayor, I read in your quote in the newspaper that you had 10 people that you were considering for the position. So as soon as you're done with whatever your process you have, to please give those names or three names or whatever you want to do to council so we can consider, you know, making this a permanent position. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Madam President, I have a real problem with reading the charter in part. There's a separation of powers, and the separation of powers wasn't happening here. You got the legislative body, which is council, and you've got the administration who handles everything else. We will be going to court to seek an injunction for this. And one reason is the ungodly rate of pay that you're paying Mr. Byron. $10,000 a month retainer plus $250 an hour for the ancillary stuff. In Kirtland, they get everything for $50,000. You have just increased our budget to $200,000+. So what Mr. Lobey charged us $65,000 to do, you're going to pay Mr. Byron $200,000. So just remember, we have to, adjust the budget, and it's going to be a negative budget then. So just warning, I will file the lawsuit. Thank you.
Madam President, I would just say that, number one, Mr. Lobey charged more than just his retainer. He also charged billables, and it's been a while since I pulled his total compensation, but the last time that I received as a public records request for the Finance Department, he made around $70,000 or $80,000 a year. So it's certainly true that at a rate of $10,000 a month in toto, because it's unlikely there will be special circumstances that would require any additional billables. That's paying Mr. Byron somewhat more than Mr. Lobey, but unfortunately there are some very serious legal issues that need to be worked out over the next couple of months, including the issue of getting a new legal team together to deal with the union contract, which apparently we may or may not have an unfair labor practice that's been filed against the city with a contract that you and Mr. Lobey negotiated. 9% in raises, tenure like a public school teacher, cash uniform allowances, over $30,000 in longevity pay over a career, bonuses, stipends. I could go on, but that contract could cost the city millions of dollars over its course and over time. And all of this went through with critical deadlines being passed before council being given notice. So unfortunately, that's just one of many legal messes that needs to be cleaned up. And I think any good attorney is going to charge a little bit more when they're coming into a difficult situation as a result of these things. I wish that these messes weren't in place, but it's our job as council to clean them up. And if you had done a better job of negotiating that contract, Mr. Mayor, and you had shared notice with council, you want to pay 9% to secretaries? We're talking about a secretary's union. Do you want to defend that? I don't think so. And now council's in a position where we have to step up, and I thank Mr. Byron for taking on a difficult role. And congratulations.
Move on to legislation. First one is ordinance 2017-67.
An ordinance providing for the temporary appropriations to meet the ordinary expenses of the City of Willoughby Hills, State of Ohio, for the period beginning January 1, 2018 through March 31, 2018, repealing all legislation inconsistent herein.
This will be on second reading. Next one is ordinance number 2017-71.
An ordinance to amend and or modify the pickup of mandatory contributions by the full-time employees of the fire department in the classification of firefighter and lieutenant who are members of the Ohio Police and Fire Pension Fund, repealing conflicting legislation and declaring an emergency.
This is on first reading. The next one is ordinance 2017-72.
An ordinance confirming the appointment of and fixing the compensation for the position of part-time recreation coordinator and declaring an emergency.
This is also on first reading and will be reviewed in committee. Any new business before council this evening? For the good of the order?
Madam President? If I could share, I'm excited to share with Willoughby Hills that we have a visitor for the next 2 months. My research assistant at Cleveland State University, Taya Golobitz from Ljubljana, Slovenia. She's a second-year PhD in law student, and she'll be studying under me at Cleveland State, as I said, for the next 2 months as part of the American Slovenian Education Foundation ASEF Fellowship. And we're really excited to share our community with her, to show her the Slovenian community in the United States. And we just finished going through a series of lectures from visiting faculty from Slovenia who are here in a grant that they and I co-applied for, which will allow me to visit Slovenia this December. And Taya is helping me in her research to prepare for my presentation, which I'll be giving in Ljubljana. So I wanted to, on the record, welcome her to Willoughby Hills City Hall and her view of American government. So if you have a chance, please say hello to Taya. We're very excited to have her in the great city of Willoughby Hills. Thank you.
Anyone else for the good of the order or the good of the community? Seeing none.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn from Councilman Fiebig, a second from Vice President Plushnik. There's no discussion on the motion.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hallam?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Ishmo?
Yes.
Plushnik?
Yes.
Biro?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes. Meeting is adjourned at 7:52 p.m. Thank you, everybody.
Wow. That's nice. Pat, can I get your report?